Hi, this is Heaton Shaw on the Startup Chat.
And this is Stelly FD. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about remote teams, how to manage remote teams, how to build a remote company.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yet. We want you to do your best.
The reason I want to talk about this today, Heaton, is that Close.io today is kind of a semi-remote company in the sense that we do have an office in Palo Alto and most of our employees are in the Bay Area, but we do have a few employees that are fully remote. We have an increasing amount of employees. The next four offers that we're putting out there are all remote. And even the people that are currently in the Bay Area, half of them are planning to move somewhere else in the next 12 months. So we're kind of making a transition to becoming more and more remote. Even before having any remote employees, I would say that two-thirds of the time, a large number of people would not be in the office. So people would work from home or travel. Like, so we're kind of, we've always been used to being semi-remote. So we enjoy working from wherever. We enjoy traveling. We like people that are talented from all around the world. But we also kind of still like to be around once in a while with each other. We do a lot of team retreats and things of that nature. And now we're in this phase where we're starting to hire more and more remote. I see some people that I've worked for the last 4 years very closely with planning to leave. And there's both an excitement and an anxiety about how we're going to make this transition to being better at remote, especially when it comes to like the fun stuff, the cultural stuff, the, you know, trust, the relationship building, because we were able to do a lot of that because we knew each other already. So if you fuck off and travel and only work with me in chat, I already know who you are. But now we're starting to hire people that I don't know well, and I only communicate through chat. So how do we do this? We're also now having people that are in totally different time zones. So team meetings and things like that start becoming more challenging. And I know that you have a shit ton of experience both building remote teams, but also advising some of the more like quote unquote famous companies for being remote. So I want to learn from you. I want to hear some of your thoughts on this. Well, first, let's talk about your businesses and are they remote or not and how, and some of your core things that you've observed on like how to build a great remote team or when you should or when you shouldn't.
Since 2003, I've probably employed at some point over now four companies, 100 people, remote or semi-remote. So our consulting company was mostly remote, but we did have an office for some folks. Crazy Egg, the first SaaS business, was always remote, never has changed, anywhere from 5 to 10 people depending on when. We're working on it. And then we have a lot of other stuff with contractors and a lot of outsourcing and insourcing in America and stuff like that too. And then Kissmetrics got up to about 70 people at one point, and it was at least half remote, if not more. And then latest company is about eight, nine people, and it's a little bit less, and it's remote. What I like to say now is like I don't wish remote upon anybody. I mean, it's been, 13 years of just remote. And I think the biggest thing is I think culture is much harder, right? You have to develop it digitally, right? Like, you can't walk in an office and understand how everyone feels right away, right? And that's so priceless because you can do that every day if you have an office. Yeah. And so I think those aspects of it make it a little tough. I also was constantly inspired early on, like 2003, 4, 5, even 6 onward, up to probably 2006, 2007 by 37 Signals, now Basecamp, because they were always a remote culture. And then more recently, I'm an advisor to Automattic that makes WordPress.com, and then also Buffer, amongst others that are also remote. But those are the two that everyone would instantly say, hey, they're remote, right? They do retreats. They do meetups. They do all sorts of things like that just to make sure that people get FaceTime, right? At our companies, we're actually – Kissmetrics, we started doing a bunch of that once it hit a certain number of people. But we've managed to keep the other remote teams very small in terms of the full-time team members internally. That's been my hack, which is just keep the teams really small internally, and we don't even do retreats or anything, although I think we're going to do one soon. But anyways, yeah. So.
Okay, so you said I don't wish remote up on anybody because culture is difficult or much more challenging because you don't have natural face-to-face time or an easy way to read the pulse of the team kind of as the founder walking into a room, right? There's no room.
You don't get those early indicators in the same way. Yeah. You just don't get them.
Yeah.
You basically don't get them.
Yeah.
So you have to, I believe to have a healthy remote team, you have to find your workarounds that, right? I think Buffer has a lot of public stuff about the things they've done. Automattic is a very digital culture. So there's a lot of things happen internally on internal WordPress instances called P2s. They've shared about all this too. And so I think you're doing a culture gets set in a different way. And when culture's set digitally, like it's different, right? Like I remember, you know, scouring the BBSs when I was a kid. These are bulletin board systems, like the old school IRC, even pre-IRC. You'd have to dial up and then you'd talk, but like you were essentially building culture without ever having to meet somebody in person. And it was all over like the messages they sent and stuff like that. So I think I'm used to it, right? But it's really hard. Like some of the team members on our team for like a year or two or three never met in person.
Mm.
Didn't even do too much video.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a time when video was that popular. So it would just be on the phone, right?
Yeah.
Now with Hangouts and all that, it gets a little easier. Because you can see someone's face and reaction, right, when you say something. And I say a lot of messed up stuff sometimes, especially internally, just to see what people think. I would say it's super challenging. I have to admit it's super challenging. From someone who's done it too much, I would say, and watching all these other companies do it as well, it's the amount of process and rigor it requires, I think, is pretty, at least a couple levels faster. So for example, I'll be tactical here. If you have, think about four people remote, four or five, once you start getting past three, you start needing to document stuff.
Mm.
Like in a way that you'd be like, wait, like if I was in an office, it would probably be like 15, 20 pushing it. Mm. And you still wouldn't need the same type of documentation because people were just talking.
Yeah.
And things were just happening all around you. Not that that's healthy at that scale not to have it, but I'm talking about like roadmaps, process, specs, like all the way to sales collateral and processes around sales documented in just a way that isn't usually likely any other way. Because otherwise, how is someone else going to ramp up? Mm-hmm. They can't sit next to someone else and ramp up.
Yeah.
It's just a different problem.
Yeah. That's interesting because it rings true and makes a lot of sense. I'm the funny thing that I'm observing being reflective of the kind of transition we're making is that we are still relying on some hacks kind of along the way where if we hire you, even if you're remote, we'll have you travel here and onboard the first 2 weeks in person. We do two large retreats and two small ones a year. So there's a lot of like FaceTime. Yeah. We have a Monday and a Friday meeting, which are both 30 minutes, fairly quick. And they're all always on Skype with video. And we record them and upload them in Dropbox. So we do, especially the amount of FaceTime we're creating, although people are remote, it just is kind of a nice cop-out, a nice way of like avoiding some of the challenges.
No, I don't think you're avoiding them. I don't even think you're preventing them. I think it's the way you onboard people onto your team.
Yeah.
And your team happens to be remote.
Yeah.
Right? Like I don't know if I would. Here's the weird thing. By what you're saying, I'm not sure if I'd do it any differently than you. Right? You are solving problems. I don't think you're hacking at it.
Okay.
Right?
Because I'm like somewhat critical asking myself, are we avoiding to do the long-term thing that it needs to be a healthy remote team by doing some of these short-term things of bringing people together to just make our lives easier in that
fashion?
Are
they productive meetings? Are these things when the team's here, do they enjoy it? Like,
yes.
Is the feedback good?
Yes.
Like, you know, like when you onboard someone in the first 2 weeks, like, is it better for the company that way?
Yes.
I know I'm asking really basic questions, but like to me, it's like, I'm looking at a world where I probably have the weirdest company at Crazy Egg. It's 11 years old, lots of customers, no sales team, 8 team members. And it's my co-founder. sorry for the call.
No.
Anyways, he probably wanted to talk about what I'm talking about right now. Anyways, 8 people, and we probably have another support of 20. Easy, right? Like around 20 amongst dev shops, design, and all these other resources. And like, our onboarding is like, here you go. Here's the keys.
Yeah.
Just watch out for some of the doors that are a little stuck. You know, it's cool. You can open them, but I don't know what's going to pop out.
Yeah.
And that's how we onboard. But we've only onboarded 8 people. Mm. We haven't onboarded that many. We onboarded 3 recently. And like, yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff. But like what I noticed is that and this applies to an office culture and other cultures. So I was talking to a friend, and I've done this since. It was pretty funny. But like she was basically saying that she randomly just went to some team member at a company and said, "Why are you, you know, watching that World of Warcraft video right there?" And this is like a younger team member, mm-hmm. right? And he basically said, "This is what they did at my last company. Everyone did that."
Mm. Interesting.
And since then, I've started doing this and just asking, like, if I see something interesting about somebody working, I just ask them why,
hmm.
right? And just try to understand. And one thing that I find fascinating, I've watched this, is like, especially recently, is like the behavior in the company gets mimicked. And I think the reason I'm bringing this up is I think that applies to remote teams too.
Yeah.
So if they come here and watch how everyone works remotely in a setting that's sort of, you know, more structured, and they're onboarded into the company like that, they might understand the norms.
Mm.
They might even understand you better and any of the other parts of the business, depending on where their responsibilities are. And, you know, I've debated this recently. I'm like, you know, if it's a remote team and they actually at this point, I know this might sound a little weird, but at this point they don't know me or my co-founder, right? Or even someone on the team, then we got to get them to know us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and that's really hard remote.
Yeah.
So your hack might not be a hack. It might be necessary.
Yeah.
To keep the culture.
It's interesting. We might talk in a future episode about like onboarding new people into your company, because that's kind of such a big topic. But one thing we've done this retreat for the very first time, and it blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I thought that's something we should have always done in one way or another, is that we had a meeting because we had a bunch of new people.
Yeah.
And we also brought in the people that were kind of newer, even if they've been with the company for 3, 4, 5 months or so.
Yeah.
And I basically both gave them a history lesson on the business, but also I gave them like an introduction to every single person that works at this company, from like why they joined and how, to what makes them who they are, and to ways I found to work productively with them and their quirks.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, like, people were just like, there were so many stories that I told where people were like, "Oh, that makes sense that that guy is this way." And, oh, or where people were like, "Well, I have this challenge with this person." And I was like, "Okay, here's how you deal with him." And everybody was like, "Oh my God, I'm so glad I heard that as well, because that kind of explains
and that
everything."
Was in the room too. It was so good.
So,
I really
so I was like, "Okay, well, that inspired me to think that as we move forward, we're going to make this in a bit more scalable way, where there's like a, here's ways to work. Here's who I am for every team member, why I joined, and here's the ways to work with me and the ways to understand me better."
I like it.
Well, you know, that my co-founder, when he walks into the office, he doesn't say hello. When he leaves, he doesn't say goodbye. We had an intern 2 years ago that interpreted that as, "This guy's hating me and thinks I'm so unimportant as an intern. I'm not worthy of a hello." And was really angry at him until I realized that that was going on, and kind of explained it to him. So there's all these quirks and interesting things. And if new people come on board, it takes them so much time to understand who's who and how to deal with people.
That's really good. It's like a cheat sheet.
Exactly. A cheat sheet for your
the people.
Team members and for the people in the company, right? So, but then, you know, one thing that I'm struggling with is, you know, we are using chat a lot. We've been using chat from day one a lot.
Yeah.
Even if everybody's in the office, we might communicate predominantly in chat. But we're not doing like all the fun, crazy culture.
Yeah.
We're having a great time. That was predominantly in person, and chat is predominantly like work discussions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as I'm thinking of some people that are not around, like, or as more people not being around, I'm thinking, how do you replicate some of the fun personal stuff in kind of chat and meetings and things like that? And there's, as you said, there's companies, there's a lot of blog posts about this, a lot of new startups that write about it. And there's companies that have a distinct culture where there's maybe little of that. And they're like, "We want people that like to work and be alone and like to predominantly just talk in chat with people. So that's how we hire, and that's how we build the all culture." Do you think so people can go out and research a lot about like how to build remote teams, but let me ask you this just because I'm curious. There's companies that say remote is the future and remote is where kind of the work is going. There's companies that tried remote and then they write big blog posts on like, "This isn't working and it's horrible." You've done a bunch of companies. You seem both as somebody that has a lot of experience, but maybe also because of that is slightly critical or cynical on it. How do you think about kind of the, as a business owner, thinking long-term about remote? Do you think that's going to be a trend that's going to be more and more prevalent, or do you think it's just a fluke, or do you think it depends and it will always depend?
Couple things, and then we'll get into that. You might need to remind me. One, let me give you the data problem or data solution to your introducing people to people in the company.
Yeah.
We started doing a gentleman from Intuit worked with us at Akismetrics, and he introduced something called personal PII. I think it was PII. Yeah. Basically, it's a personality test that basically is designed for work. So it'll tell you how to work with somebody and from a personality basis. So we had everyone start taking it at Kissmetrics once they joined, right? And it gave us a lot more clarity. Even folks I've worked with again, it gave me even more clarity on how to help them be successful in the new company. So that's like more, not factual, but like baseline between one person and another across the company.
Yeah.
So I would actually suggest stuff like that.
I like that.
And the second thing I was going to say, actually, we can get to your question about the future. I think that's a great question. I mean, there's only one trend, and the trend is that like people want more flexibility. Period. Life, work. I mean, you just look at the trend in life right now, right? Like, there's even like things like nomadic and nomadism, and I don't know what they. You know, I've met a few people that are really into that.
Yeah.
And it's just the idea that you carry whatever you got on you, like your backpack, your duffel bag, that's it, whatever, and you roll wherever you want and you find a place to stay, and there's a lot of versions of it, right? I've even heard certain areas like where there's a lot of nomadic people just hanging out and rolling through, right? Like there's like five or six areas across the world like that. And so I think the trend is definitely towards more flexible work. Let's not even try to we'll define that, but like flexible work is definitely the clear picture, right? Just like you said, some people want to travel. They don't want to be stuck in one place. Well, what's happening? Like we just want more variety all of a sudden. And more importantly, it's easier to travel than ever. I think it's hard for people to imagine it was harder than it is today, right? Even airline tickets are commoditized now. They're super cheap. You can go on a train. It's super cheap. Like things are actually cheaper in those ways. And we're just getting more, as we're getting more digitally connected, it's also becoming cheaper to physically travel. Right, which adds another layer to it. And the connectedness makes it so that you actually are connected with people across the world, and then maybe you want to go see them in person, right? Even if it's like friends that you haven't seen in a long time, or your friends go move somewhere, and then you want to go travel. So I think there's